podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello, bonjour, hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, welcome to Saturday Draft Live. My name is David Hockney, back once again, presenting the number one show on Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet's back catalogue. And we are less now than 3 weeks away from WrestleMania, so it's starting to get pretty competitive, both in our main league and our listeners league. But we'll get straight into that, right after I do a little bit of messages here. So if this is your first time listening to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, firstly, where the hell have you been? But you can catch all our back catalogue on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, now Spotify for podcasters, on any good podcasting site, on your preferred device of choice. We're also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and TikTok as well, at Suplex Retweet. So be sure to join our community page, get involved with the discussion, the conversation, and let us know what you think. But I'm not joined alone. I am joined by Mr. Scott McLeod. Scott, how are you?
I've been better, Dave. I've been better. If I do my score or anything, I'm just not feeling my best today. But, you know, I persevere.
Persevere, power through. That's what I like to see. You know, doesn't matter if you're feeling a bit under the weather, the show must go on nonetheless. And it's good to have you on board. So, but I'll tell you what's going down right now is that the competition, as I said at the start, is getting very, very tense now, and we're only 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. So it's almost like, you know, blinking you miss it this season, isn't it?
Yeah, because it feels like there's so much in between. Like, we had Chamber, Revolution, things like that. But I think also this season, the fact that the Rumble was like, which I think the last day of January, so before you know it, we're into February, the season started. We missed a week at the start of February because the season hadn't officially started after we made our predictions and where our teams are put together. So, yeah, not really that much time.
Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get straight into our top three of the week. And back once again, same as last week, it's Mammy, Rhea Ripley, on 10 points this week. Now, Scott, number one draft pick overall, currently joint second in the top 10 of the season. And she seems to be, you know, in a very good position to get a big win at WrestleMania. How beneficial has she been to Team Goats Incarnate this season thus far?
Very important. I said at the start of the season that if you have the number one pick and between the two, well, I think you could get away with choosing either of them or one, but if you didn't choose one of them, you'd be an idiot. And it was a great choice by David Campbell. I have to give him that. Not giving Tom Brock any fucking credit. But I think the only reason that she's like only number two, not number one, is because she's been doing a lot more promos rather than matches, despite the fact she's appeared across both shows. And also the fact that Asuka, who's number one this season, she had that Chamber performance, so that's taken her up ahead of Rhea Ripley. But, you know, 10 points for this week just by mainly appearances is nothing to be sniffed at, especially this close to our big match with Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got an Elimination Chamber performance like that, there's no catching that person. I mean, you can attest to that as well. A couple of years ago, you had Shayna Baszler as your captain, and she ran roughshod through the Elimination Chamber. She scored you massive points, and I believe that was your first win that season.
Yeah. So, also had Miz and Morrison in the tag chamber, so that worked out well.
Of course, yeah. All right, second place in our top three. Quite a surprising entry this week as well, but a big point scorer nonetheless. Kevin Owens on 12 points. Now, Kevin Owens has been a bit of an anomaly this season because we all sort of have an idea of what might happen with his program leading into Mania, because, you know, you could see, like, it's looking like it could be a KO and Sammy versus Usos match at WrestleMania, but he's scoring big points this week. Do you think this is just a one-off, or do you think, you know, we could be starting to see more consistent appearances as we close that gap towards Mania?
Kevin Owens has always been a weird one for me. Like, if we were doing this draft back in like 2015, 16 time, or even 2017, like, he was always in a title scene of some sort. So he would always be like a very, very valuable pick, but you know, you never know what's going to happen with Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that he's so integral to this bloodline story with Sammy, and the fact that we're just a little bit away from confirming that they're going to have that tag title match at WrestleMania, I think he is an important pick this season. I think if he and Sammy have the tag belts going into next season, he will be a valuable pick, whether as a singles or maybe someone might take the shot of having Sammy as a tag team pick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, scoring 12 points alone, he's practically more than doubled his total points this week. He's broken into the top 10 now at position number 9, and he was the 5th overall selection from pair of fannies and was a first round pick. So definitely, possibly long-term booking, or long-term selection thinking ahead. And it's, certainly benefited Jack and Ryan, given that they're not doing too great performance-wise this season. But unsurprisingly, top, number one on the top three of the week, with a score of 4-3, retaining the AEW World title at Revolution against Bryan Danielson, is MJF with 16 points, this week. Now, we talked about the scoring for MJF and the Iron Man match, is that, each individual pin counts as a win, and the overall result counts as a title win. So, and with a score of 4-3, it's a very good score of 16 points for MJF, and very beneficial for Team Goats Incarnate.
Yeah, it's a must-needed pay-per-view win. It's a very rare, I think this is one of the rare times you'll see MJF that high up in the top three, because, you know, he's made it clear he's probably not going to wrestle that much during the title reign. If he does wrestle, it will be on pay-per-view. So you got to take like the most amount of points you can get, but I wouldn't get used to seeing MJF scoring that highly.
Yeah, he was the last pick of the selection overall, given the snake draft selection, but he is currently sitting 5th in the top 10 with 25 points overall. So possibly, again, more than doubled his points just in this past week alone. So it's, yeah, definitely Goats Incarnate thinking ahead with the whole AEW pay-per-view points, and the Iron Man match just gets them a few extra points, especially when you need it at this time of the season. But let's see how that affects the overall rankings of the table. So, position 7th, we have Grant McRobbie and Kwaku Aje with Alba Gugraps 2.0 still at the bottom on 75 points. And then just above them, we have on 85 points, Jack and Ryan with pair of fannies. Funnily enough, second highest scorers this week alone, 23 points, but not enough to get them out of the bottom two. Then we have Serenity Now. It's you and your brother Ross Scott on 91 points. Then moving the middle of the table now, we have Ryan Gallagher and Chris Anthony Lopez, the Transatlantic Heartbreakers, on 93 points. We have third place, Andy and Steven, with Andy and Steven in the morning on 102 points. Then we have last season's winners, second place, myself and Gary, Men in a Mission 2.0, 108 points, just 6 points ahead, and literally one solo point ahead, claiming the top of the table this week. God save us, it's Team Goats Incarnate, the Goat David Campbell and Tom Brock on 109 points. Scoring, big scoring this week, all thanks primarily to MJF. But Scott, take a wild guess at how many points that Team Goats Incarnate scored this week.
I really don't care to make a guess, just tell me.
It's 44.
Oh, good for them. Move on with your life.
But yes, I think the sooner we can get Goats Incarnate off the top of the table, the better, because, you know, the gloating's already happened. But they're in a position now to be potentially the first participant to win a draft from position number one in the selection process. Sure. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think we'll see a Men on a Mission retention this season?
Well, you got to remember that they also have Charlotte Flair on their team, who had a win this week on SmackDown. You had the Rhea Ripley appearances, as we talked about, and MJF also in the top three. So that'll be a major thing. I think the fact that you and Gary have the Young Bucks, and we saw they didn't have as good a revolution showing result-wise, that
didn't
help you guys. Yeah, you guys lost points, whereas these guys, given the way that the Iron Man thing was scored, we're able to gain points. But I think the fact that both Charlotte and Bianca are probably going to lose their titles. I know it'll be one of their other picks in the case of Charlotte, but I think two title losses at WrestleMania might not be the result they're looking for, even though we try to say that to them when they made the pick. So, like, oh, why is no one pick Bianca and Charlotte? Because they're probably going to lose at Mania, and you want people who are going to win. I mean, exactly. He's all about the points you get along the way and everything. But, like, they've been in the lower half of the table for a good wee while, and then they made their way up. And, like, they're only one point ahead, so it only takes one bad week for them to tumble down, because, like, me and Ross, Ryan and Chris, and Stephen and Andy, it only takes one great week for us to help climb up in the top three or top two, and then you and Gary, vice versa, could easily overtake the GOATs with one easy result.
Mm-hmm.
So, from fifth upwards, you know, it's not a sure thing quite yet. And I don't want to put the other guys down. I mean, Grant and Quacker, I think we didn't really give them much of a chance during the preview show, mm-hmm. but they were higher up on the table for longer than we thought they would until they've made their way mm-hmm. back down to the bottom.
Yeah, but I think their AEW heavy team, I think, is now going to fizzle out a little bit, given that, you know, the majority of programming is going to be WWE and WrestleMania for the last few weeks.
Also, can I talk about a pair of things? Just to Ryan Douglas, I've tried to, you know, be nice to that man, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. But he was so confident, shouting it from the rooftops that he wouldn't give any other team credit. He wouldn't protect any other winners other than his own team. He was so confident in his own team's abilities. Has he and Jack been out of the bottom half of the table at all this season?
Not that I'm aware. Let me see. Jack and Ryan. Their best scoring week was last week, where they got 28 points total. But as far as I can tell, I think they've consistently been in the lower half of the table all season long.
Yeah, and me and Ross moving back down, even though Jamie Hayter won at Revolution, you know, we've had links of Gunther and Austin Theory mainly doing promos rather than the matches. But we were, a few weeks ago, we were third. At one point, we were second. And then we've moved back down a few places. But we're not out of it yet, whereas Jack and Ryan, I think the highest they've been is fifth or fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they were fourth.
Although, you have to wonder, though, I mean, Goats Incarnate's tag team is the team of Drew and Sheamus, who are now basically having goes at each other over the Intercontinental Championship. Maybe it just goes to show, you know, maybe the GOAT, David Campbell, hasn't got a good track record of selecting tag teams, given that a few years ago he selected the Golden Role Models only for them to face each other inside Hell in a Cell. But you think this dissolving tag team for Goats Incarnate is going to hamper them?
Yeah, David Campbell will try and say the same way he did with the Golden Rose. Oh yeah, but they're feuding against each other. They'll be in the same segments, yes, but the whole point of a tag team is to get a tag team that wins all the time because they get scored together.
Mm.
So you need a bit more than just appearances at this stage. And maybe we'll get if it ends up the triple threat that we think it's going to be, they'll be like, oh, a week before maybe it's Kaiser and Vici versus Drew and Sheamus. But again, like, you don't want your tag team in a feud with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, less of the main league for now. Scott, I'm going to hand it over to you now to discuss the current standings of the Listeners League and, of course, the scoring so far for the Listeners League Cup as well. So I'll hand it over to you.
All right. So if only I wasn't feeling shit enough already. Mm-hmm. Make me do this.
I know.
John's number 5 with 128 points. Well, tied technically 4th, I think, for 128 points. John Sly with Judgment Day 1-ish. And Alan Morey with Mammy Mania. Gary Morris is in 3rd, 133 points. Banger Brothers and Sisters, you weird individual. My boy Anthony Fitzpatrick. Dan Gore with the Field Lab Experiment, 138 points. He's just 2 points behind Ross Brady with the Big Banger Bros theory on 140. So Anthony Fitzpatrick is just a few points behind Ross Brady. It seems, I won't get out Gary Morris or anything, but I am between Ross Brady and Anthony Fitzpatrick for who's going to join us in the next season. And the way this tab is, I'm not going to try and look up who's in each guy's team because I couldn't tell you who's in both guys' teams. So I'm going to go ahead to the Listeners League Cup. None of the guys that are in the top five here are in the final or in the semis for the Listeners League Cup. So it won't be a case of the Listeners League winner also winning the cup, guaranteeing them a spot to pick first. It's looking like we'll have two Listeners League competitors next season, especially with the transfer window. And it's the longest season. That is not a nice possibility for me. We have our semi-finals, which will happen over the next week, leading to a finals, which will take place at WrestleMania Sunday. The winner of the Old Firm bracket, the top right-hand side, Jonathan Napier, having defeated Elora May, 29 points to 4, will take on in the semis Tam Mick, because Javi's name is cut out, the winner of the Ugly Boss next bracket on the bottom right hand side, defeating JP, definitely an ugly boss, I've never even met him, but I can tell that. beating 33 points to 18. On the other side, we have former Listeners League winner Matt Smith, got the Doctor Who guy, winning the Louis Dangour bracket, 23 points to 21 over Ross McCluckie. Not very lucky for him. And he will take on the semi finals, Mike Angus, the winner of the Brit Rest bracket, defeating David Collins, too bad David, 25 points to 11. There we go. We have three potential newbies for next season, or we could have Matt Smith joining the main season for a second time. So, do you think Matt Smith's experience will help him secure a spot in next season and he'll pass through the final, or do you think it may just be a case of luck for these other guys?
I guess it all just depends, you know, how the scoring goes so far. Last I checked, I think Matt Smith was currently in the lead, but not by much. So it's going to be definitely going to be a close one if Matt wants to try and become a two-time Listeners League winner. So yeah, that was the Listeners League standings, and we've got our next semi-final decider coming up next week. So let's hope our participants get as many points as they can. But Scott, I want to wrap up today's episode with something you mentioned earlier on about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn possibly being a tag team pick for next season. So I want to get your thoughts on, you know, we're close to WrestleMania now. We're basically hitting the reset button with storylines, and we're basically starting from scratch with WWE programming effectively. So who do you see as potentially the big scorers for next season, considering that it's going to be from the night after WrestleMania all the way up to SummerSlam? It's our longest season yet, so definitely a lot of potential there. Any standouts?
I do think Kevin and Sami taking a shot on them as a tag team, if they win the tag team titles from the Usos, it looks like they will do, to kind of be the combination of this story that Sami's been having with Jay and the Usos. I think Cody is the guy who beat Roman, so Cody will definitely be a guy to, you know, try and get in the first round as early as you can. And I think there's quite a few guys getting the upper bit of the card to get a look out for your Drews and people like that, because, and you're like yourself, Rollins, because I think Cody will win both belts, but at some point afterwards they'll try and have him defend both belts separately and try and split them up. So I'd get somebody from like upper on the card, because you never know if like one of them might take one of the belts off of Cody. Because I do think it's about time they bloody like split those belts as soon as they get them off of Roman.
Yeah, do you think he might do a Keith Lee as well, like after he wins the NXT and North American title, he vacates the North American title to say other people deserve an opportunity?
No, I think he'll defend both belts. Potentially maybe like he'll go on Raw, find challenger for the WWE belt, and then go to SmackDown and look for people like Drew or Karrion Kross that are trying to challenge him for the Universal one, and like he'll do like a Becky Lynch did for a wee while, where like you'll defend both separately, lose one but retain the other. And if he's going to lose one, I think it's going to end up being the Universal, because he got that promo when he first came back about which it meant to him to win the WWE title, because that had all the legacy, and it had like his dad never got a chance to win it. But I think also when you look at potential scores, I think people like Gunther. I think Gunther is talking about whether or not he keeps the IC title, because there's a chance if he keeps the belt, it could break Honky Tonk's record. But if he doesn't, if you believe the rumours, he is a future title contender. for one of those top belts, so he could get into a program with Cody. And I had another pick. I also think Solo Sikoa is like a decent second or third round pick that will actually really pay dividends next season. Because he lost by DQ. It's one of the only real losses on the main roster so far, but it was by DQ because they're trying to apparently protect him as much as possible for a potential showdown with Roman Reigns at some point. So I think we're building to, the group chat, like a Batista Triple H style turn from back in 2005.
Yeah, we had talks with about Solo Sikoa being a potential big scorer next season, especially if the bloodline breaks down post Mania. So it's and if they're protecting him to get wins all the time, I think he'd be a very solid second round pick as far as selections go. But just while we're talking about big scorers, somebody I've noticed that hasn't had a very good season thus far is two members of Damage Control, Io Sky and Dakota Kai, both currently sitting on only 5 points this season after they pretty much ran rampant from during the SummerSlam to Survivor Series season. Do you think this is just a bit of a downer season for them, or could they potentially bounce back next season?
I don't know. A lot of the scores depend on next season. Because also you had the thing where they won the belts, but then they lose them again. They lost at War Games and that, so they're a bit of a downturn. But you know, maybe they could tell a storyline about the dysfunction of Damage Control then falling apart across the spring and summer period. So having that storyline with Bayley would keep them on TV all the time. But yeah, that initial push for the first couple months when they came back really paid dividends for whoever had both of those two on your team. But I think that initial honeymoon phase is really worn off for those two.
I mean, they are all of Damage Control, including Bayley, are facing Becky Lynch, Trish, and Lita at Mania. Becky and Lita are currently the women's tag champions. Do you think Damage Control could potentially regain the women's tag titles post-Mania?
Well, if they win the sixth women tag, then I think maybe they'll be in for a shot. Maybe the night after WrestleMania against Becky and Lita, because there's rumours of a heel Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. So maybe as the way I said that, maybe Trish will portray her team at WrestleMania, Damage Control get the win, and then Io and Dakota get the belts back, because also we know Lita enjoys working with the younger, the current talent, but you know she's not going to be around for very long, so eventually, Lita's going to have to drop her side of the tag team titles.
Yeah, it almost feels like a bit of a last ride for the Legends a little bit. But, I mean, it is baffling to see Lita holding a championship in 2023 when the last time she held it was in 2006. It's crazy how, the wrestling books itself nowadays. But, these are all just fantasy bookings and, predictions. We're all about analysis and statistical knowledge here on Saturday Draft Live. And that's going to do it for us this week. If you want to catch more of this great analytical insight, be sure to tune in every Saturday where you'll have either myself, Scott, Jack or Ryan on hosting duty. And once again, be sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Suplex Retweet. Also on TikTok as well. So make sure you follow us there. And if you want to listen to our back catalogue, we're on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, now Spotify for podcasters, on all good Android podcasting sites on your preferred device. But that's going to do it for us here. Thank you, Scott, for joining me and persevering through your ailment.
Thank you very much. Good being here. I'm going back to bed.
All right. I've been David Hockney. This has been Saturday Draft Live, and we will see you next time.
Podcast Network.